T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome in, Clint Sterner, the man, the myth, I am. Run the show, Hughley. If you've never heard this voice before, I am filling in for today and tomorrow, as I see right here on the text line, 713-572-4610. Someone has said, Clint, that I sound fat.
Well, what do you say to that?
I really would like to hear how many believe, listening to me, that I sound fat.
You got a little big boy. You got a little big boy accent.
Oh, stop it, Clint. I'm big.
I'm just saying.
You know, I'm 5'9" and a half. About 297 in a bad way.
Look here. Boy, you better be careful over on that text line, boy. They come in hot on that text line now. You got any doubts? Hey, they'll have you tore apart on that damn text line, boy. You better be careful.
I mean, but I'm cute, though. All right, man, let's get into it, man. It ain't fake, B-Mac. You got to chill out now. I'm being nice. Being nice. It's 1 hour now. I'll come get you. All right. So you think you got some concerns about Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, look, here's the deal, Show. I got mad respect for Russell Westbrook in his game. Always have. Derrick Rose back in the day before his injury. The way at which these cats play the game is admirable.
That's a good comp.
It's crazy. It's one of those when you watch Rose before his injury, and he's not what he once was, but he's back to playing explosive. When you watch these guys play, you go, how does the human body do it? Like, how does the human body make it through a week of basketball the way that Westbrook plays, much less a year and a career? And so I got mad respect for my man's game. But when you look at it, you got to ask, in a day and age where in the NBA, load management is a real deal. And I think load management is a trigger word for a lot of people. I think old school people don't like hearing that word. And I'll probably fit more in that category when we start talking about babying guys and not playing certain players in baseball or in football. But basketball, it's real. I mean, basketball, you got to load manage dudes, and you damn sure got to load manage guys like Russell Westbrook. And so my concern, Show, is the shelf life. You know, how long can we as Rockets fans expect Russell Westbrook to play at the level that he's playing at?
Yeah, I think first off, you just kind of got to look at it from an entire perspective. I think the Rockets knew, Daryl Morey and company knew, that the shelf life was going to be short like this. And I think a lot of this move was more in the immediate.
Sure.
Like the next couple years to try to make a real run. And I just think you got to be honest with yourself and say, look, we know that Russ's game, and I think John Wall is somebody you can throw in the same way. We know guys like that's games aren't going to live long. He's not a productive shooter. His game is a lot about pace and speed and quickness and just athleticism. Him and Derrick Rose may be pound for pound the most athletic guys who's ever stepped foot in the league, at least in the last 20 years, just what they could do with their bodies, with their speed and elevation ability. But you just have to be honest and know it. And know this is going to be a 2-3 year stretch. Yeah. And I think the piece of load management that you're saying is, okay, if we know this, then we got to protect this to a point where we're getting the best out of him.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you want to bite the bullet, you know, and say, well, he should be playing 80, 75 games, but if he's going to be at his best and when you really need him, like, you got to understand that coming in, that you got to save some miles from him.
You got to do your damnedest to save miles. He's got 3 years left on his deal. In 2022-23, that season, that NBA season, my man's going to make $47 million. I mean, it's a player option year, but he's due to make $47 million. He'll be 33 years old. Good and so, God. Look, there's no doubt about that, that they need to see what they can do. That if they can get Russ Westbrook, 2019-2020 Russ Westbrook for two or three more, hell yeah, it's great. But here's my question about – here's the interesting aspect to me about Westbrook is, does Westbrook decide at some point, whenever that may be, when the explosiveness and the lift and the athleticism and the twitch, when it's not enough to get you over the hump and you're not one of the top 10 players in the league anymore, you're not an all-star anymore, you're not catapulting the team from average to championship level – what does Westbrook do at that time? What does Russell Westbrook do at that point in time? I'll give you two names. Does he turn into Vince Carter, right? Alter that game a little bit, better the shooting, change his style, accept a lesser role, or does he go Allen Iverson? I'm the dude, give me the rock, get the hell out of here, and at 33, 34 years old, dude's out of the league.
Well, hell, I think everybody around here, including yourself, knows exactly the route he's going when you bring those two names up. Everything that you love about Russell Westbrook, and I love, man, that kid is a competitor.
Yeah, I love him. I hated him when he wasn't a Rocket, but I love him that he's in that Rocket Red.
He just, if you just like as hard as he goes, man,
yeah.
He is not anybody that you would ever question if he's going hard, if he wants it. And because of that is why I don't think that you can see him morph his game the way Vince does. He's just going to keep playing the way he knows how to play until this thing, till the wheels roll off this bad boy. I think Dwayne Wade did a pretty good job of adjusting his game as somebody who's always running and hitting the ground. And he had to end. Like him and LeBron and Carmelo came in at the same time. Man, we lost Dwayne's knees a long time ago. So I'm just saying, you know Russ isn't going to slow down, and it is not from an effect that he doesn't try. I think Russ works on his three-point shooting in the offseason. My man, that ain't his walk.
Well, you got to think it's and I think it's on display every night with the Rockets. I mean, how many guys shoot well, period, from behind the arc or not? How many guys shoot extremely well with that kind of lift on their jump shot? I mean, Curry don't.
No.
I mean, Harden damn sure don't. Harden will shoot that thing flat-footed, right? I mean, yeah. So it's one of those where you just go, I don't know that I've ever seen – in Texas, if you've seen somebody, and I'm it's very possible that I'm forgetting somebody, 713-572-4610, shoot me a – is there anybody out there with the kind of lift on their jump shot like Russell Westbrook that shoots it well? I mean, I can't think of anybody that does. So it would literally take a total overhaul of how he plays the game to do something like Vince Carter. And quite frankly, Show, I'm just going. I think a lot of what drives and what makes a Russell Westbrook great. He's obviously extremely talented. The twitch is stupid. The athleticism is stupid. But a lot of what makes him great is the chip that's on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And I think he would have to remove that chip and be a calmer, more calculated player than he's ever been. And I just don't know that he can do that or wants to do that mentally.
I think we're seeing it now. Like, I think he's a guy that's hard-headed. Like, how is he even willing to listen to change in his mechanics? Because his mechanics in terms of shooting the ball, you talked about it, how much elevation he gets at every – like, his shot's not great, right? And he's just trying to continue to work on it. He may work on it, but not really even be able to listen to changing mechanics. I think he is somebody that is, I do what I do, and I'm going to try to get better if I just keep working, and maybe not do as much changing in his mechanics. So, yeah, I think it's something to worry about. But I think you just have to come into it saying to yourself, all right, we know this about him. When we brought him in, we know what we need him. And if we're going to win a championship, we need Russ to be this guy. What did Toronto do? They set out Kawhi Leonard. He missed 25 games last year. And he's going to do it again with the Clippers. So I just think you got to be smart in your investment.
Yeah, as far as the Rockets go and Rockets fans right now, obviously they're load managing him to death and keeping him healthy for the run that matters, man. So I just thought I was reading that article and I thought, damn, that's interesting, man. Because I mean, I I grew up in a day and age where Vince Carter was hanging his elbow in rims and AI was doing this, was shaking Jordan. You know what I mean? It's like he was crossing Jordan over. And so it's one of those, you're like, damn, Russ falls in the middle. I wonder which direction he's going to go. It was just an interesting thought, and I wanted to get your opinion.
Yep, Vince needs to let it go, and I hope he does. I mean, he nearly killed somebody last year with his old recklessness. You don't remember when he was just on the court backing up and just took somebody off their feet when they was going up. He didn't even know he was going to dunk. That kid had to be carried off in that stretcher.
Oh no!
Yeah, man, Vince, it's over, man.
They keep signing him checks, baby.
They really do, man. He ain't even going to teams with a chance to win a championship.
He's
man.
Trying to. He's a mentor.
Kings, Hawks. Yeah. Come on, man.
He's a mentor, baby.
Come on, man. All right, if you're listening to Clint Sterner, Ron the Show Hughley filling in the next couple of days on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Finally. Finally, Drew Rosenhaus. I mean, God, man, somebody, can we give him a standing ovation? I'm serious right now. Clap your damn hands, B-Mac. I mean, come on, man. I have never seen anybody show the loyalty to somebody who does not deserve an ounce of loyalty. He has finally terminated his relationship with Antonio Brown. Oh, my God. I get to give it to Drew. I mean, I've looked at Drew's pictures lately. He's losing hair. Dealing with Antonio Brown, and finally he has shut it down with Antonio Brown. I mean, he deserves an award for how long he's tried to deal with this cat.
Look, yeah, I cannot believe it's taken this long. I can't believe that Drew Rosenhaus literally goes on all the major networks TV wise, and with a straight face, he supports AB. I mean, he got. The good thing was he got to a point where he wasn't defending him. It's like, okay, I can't defend this cat, but he was at least supporting him. And I'm like, Drew, this is bad for you, man. This is bad for business. This guy don't get it. I talked to Wade the other day, show. How in the hell does AB got all that energy? I mean, my man's made a rap video. And I ain't talking about this is a full-blown video. I mean, it had to take him some time to write the lyrics. He's out there practicing football
you
with kids.
You think he wrote them lyrics? You don't think those were off the dome?
No, I don't know. I don't think it was off the dome. No, it was way too calculated to be off the dome. If he did that off the dome, he needs to keep on doing rap videos. Because I thought the rap video was actually pretty.
That's the best work he's done.
Yeah, I didn't understand all of the women's rear ends that were running around everywhere because it didn't correlate with the words. But I guess I appreciated the lyrics. I thought it literally when I heard it, I was like, huh, that ain't bad right there. Okay, AB. But the next thing you know, he's cussing out police. I mean, next thing you know, he's shooting off on social media about the New Orleans Saints and the tryout that they so graciously gave him. I mean, I just don't know how the dude's got all the energy. It took everything I had to get up and get this show ready and come up here and hang out with you for a little. Hell, I had to skip lunch. I don't know how in the hell the guy's got the energy that he's got.
Yeah, he's delusional. He's delusional.
Look. There ain't no doubt he's crazy as hell, but he got enough social media followers where somebody that the people gonna pay. He's gonna make a nice check. I don't know if he's gonna be able to support his habits, but he's gonna make a nice check off that social media, baby.
Update from the text line 713-572-4610. Yes, I was wondering why this guy sounded like Chris Christie. We asked the folks if I sounded fat. Someone said I sounded like Chris Christie.
Isn't that the old mayor or something?
No, he was a senator in New Jersey. I was wondering who was the little fat guy who was in the Bear Bryant photo. Come on, man. You ain't going to tell me. There's a little fat guy.
I'm just glad you own it.
Slow down now.
Glad you own it, boy.
Are you going to help me, Clint?
I tried to help you about 5 minutes ago. I said, stay your ass off that text line. They are going to torture you.
No, when are you going to help me lose this?
Oh, I got you, baby. We can do work. It starts with look here. Instead of that Whataburger you ate for lunch.
It was the first time I ever had one.
Hey, yeah, you got to go get it. You got to get you a honey butter chicken biscuit for breakfast.
Man, no, that's so good.
Hey, it'll change your life. Will change your life, my brother.
That did sound good.
Honey butter chicken biscuit.
That's Clint. That's I'm Ron the Show thinking about this honey butter chicken biscuit sandwich for breakfast right now. And I mean right now. Coming up, the big story of the day here in Houston. George Springer is coming back. But is it all good news? We'll explain coming up next.
That is crunched into left. Good A tape measure home run by George Springer. And now he drives one towards deep right center field. Back goes Kipnis at the wall, and that ball is gone. Opposite field to right center field for Springer, his second home run of the game.
And welcome back in, Clint Sterner. I am filling in this week, Ron, the show, Hughley. And that right there, that is the news of the day, right? The Astros avoid arbitration with George Springer, the heart and soul of this team. I am learning today, George Springer, 1 year, $21 million. This is big. This is big. Huge. With everything that is happening with the Astros, this is big to get him in and make sure he's a part of the team, at least just for nothing, right? Something good.
Yeah, look, the timing couldn't be better, Show. I mean, look, the city needs something. The fan base needs something. Hell, national media needs something to talk about positive with the Astros. You listen to Pete Rose talk this morning on Landry Locker and John Lopez Show in the Loop from 10 to 2 every day right here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Pete Rose today. Man, did you know Pete Rose signs autographs in Vegas 5 days? Like, I think it was 20 days a month.
Look, man, you got to make that money.
But damn, I mean, 20 days a month?
That's his job. He ain't got to make that money.
I bet that sucker got arthritis in all his knuckles. I bet he writes right-handed and left-handed.
I bet he get them damn things signed, though.
I bet that hand works when he picks up that check. But he comes on and he goes, he's talking about, guys, man, like, just get behind it. Just sweep it under the rug, move on, get beyond it. I tell you how you get beyond it if you're the Houston Astros. You lock up George Springer for a year for $21 million. You don't draw it out into this long negotiation. There's a sense of urgency that needs to be had because you got training camp coming up in less than a month, and you don't have a coach and a GM. Last thing you want to do is go into training camp and you don't have the leader of your baseball team. You don't have the heartbeat of your baseball team. You got problems. You're going to have problems anyway, but George Springer, my man solves some problems when you get to training camp. If he's there, he's a guy, which if he will be there. My point is they locked him up, one-year deal, $21 million. He will be there. I believe this, right? I believe this. I believe a quarterback has to be the rock of a team. Like when and you got to be steady. You got to be locked in because when the mess hits the fan, them 10 guys that are in the huddle are looking back at you, and they're going to be a mirror image of you. If you're upset, if you're flustered, if you're lost, then they're going to be frustrated. They're going to be flustered. They're going to be lost. I believe that George Springer is the quarterback of this baseball team. I believe that through all these adverse times, when a player walks in and looks George Springer in his eye, he goes, "We're going to be all right, baby."
See, and that's the interesting thing, because I have a thought off that, because I've always thought it was Altuve. I always thought that he was the engine. He was the guy in and out of the locker room. Like, I always thought it was him. And I'm saying that. I see it up and down the text line. You're right. Like, yeah, George Springer is – maybe he may not be the best player to be able to do everything and all the crazy things that Altuve has done, including winning an American League MVP. But he is the guy on the team you can't not have. So it was not an option that he wouldn't.
Yeah, you know, I
can't not.
Sure, that's all right. You sound like me. You sit over in my chair and
can't
you get to
not.
You get to butcher in the English language. It's awesome. Hey, you know, here I don't think that when we have this conversation, Show, that we have to say that Altuve's not a leader. Altuve's not, and Bregman. You know, I think all those guys have had their moment in the sun. All those guys have had their time to look to the team. But when you talk about the rock, I believe that's been George Springer. I believe the little things matter. Like obviously he's got a stuttering issue that he's overcome as a pro athlete or as an athlete, and having to deal with the media. I know I've heard it talked about multiple times. That's a thing that you might ask, well, why the hell does that matter? Well, that's a thing that I respect. Like, I respect that to a whole nother level, a guy that has to overcome that kind of adversity throughout his life and is able to talk. That's something that I think all humans, no matter where you're from, they respect the hell out of guys for that kind of thing. And obviously, not necessarily the stuttering aspect of it, but overcoming things like that, they mean a lot. And I just think George Springer is a guy that has five or six or ten of those things in his life that his teammates know about, and they respect the hell out of him. So this is huge news, man.
I wonder, are you surprised by this? Because I'm looking at the text line, 713-574-610. And again, some things in here to think about. We're overselling the importance of Springer and the signing. Some people, sure, it's good news from the 832. Sure, it's good news, but it was expected. Like, I don't know. Like, my issue with it was I was a little blown away that they didn't just go ahead and lock him up to not have to worry about dealing with this stuff next year. Like, I was surprised that it become long term. To me, I would think you have a guy like him, a guy who is a leader of this team and so important even to the organization and the fan base, that at least that, with all this stench that's happening right now around the Astros, is something that would help. And why not just lock him up to show, all right, this is the commitment that we're making. So the only thing that I was ever even disappointed with or surprised by is that it was just 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm surprised that it's 1 year. I mean, I think everybody would love for it to be 4 or 5 years, 6 years. I mean, I don't know what the number is for him, but I think everybody would like for it to be a longer-term deal. I think both parties, I think the Astros right now with Jim Crane having to do GM issues, deal with GM issues, I think that probably has a lot to do with it. I believe that George Springer, only a fool would sit there and look at this team with everything that's going on and go, oh, man, this thing's going to be steady for the next 20 years. You know, before this bomb hit the Astros, it was about sustainability. The whole process of losing 100 games and building to where they are now, it wasn't just to put a champion on the field. It was to be able to sustain that level of play long term. Look, this stick of dynamite that's been dropped, it throws all of that into question, right? And so if you're Springer's representation, you got to go, hey man, a 1 year deal for 21 ain't bad. Let's do that and let's see how this thing plays out. Let's see what manager they hire. Let's see what GM they bring in here. Let's see what plan they have to overcome these draft picks. The only thing that there's not a plan to do is overcome the $5 million, and Crane got that. I mean, Crane pulled that out of a sock. You know what I mean? He's got that. So
that's an interesting point, Clint, because maybe it's coming from his end. Because if we see in 2020 here, the thought and the mindset of today's athlete is much different.
Much different.
And I call it the LeBron James effect in terms of taking control of yourself. And maybe this is coming more from George's end and said, you know what? Like LeBron would do, I'm not about to just sign long term until you show me that you're going to go do things. So I want to see who the manager is going to be. I want to see, because I had one of the best GMs in the game, maybe if not the best GM in the game that I just lost, and another great manager.
Yes.
And Hinch that I just lost. Let me see who the hell you're going to bring in and where's the direction of this organization before I say that I'll sign long term. So maybe this is going into the long line of how we see professional athletes handle their business in 2020.
Very well could be. Very well could be his representation having a little change in how their business structure along the lines of LeBron James' way of doing things. It could be any of those.
Yeah.
But to the text line talking about expectations. Hell, I expected Hinch to be here. Mm. I expected Jeff Luhnow to be the GM. Don't give me no. I expected. Hell, look here. That things are changing. That expectation, boy, you set yourself up to fail. Now I'm going to limit expectations. You know what I mean? This is big, man. I don't care whether you expected it to happen. When your GM and your head coach is gone, and now your owner or somebody else is having to negotiate deals that wasn't the plan 3 days ago, 4 days ago. That's a big deal. When you got to start training camp in a month.
Yeah,
that's a big deal, man.
And they still don't have any idea who that is, who's going to be making the decisions when it comes to that. So, yeah.
We're talking about – let me rattle some numbers off here for you, bro. We're talking about over the last three seasons, Springer has averaged 32 home runs, 84 RBIs, and 103 runs scored, right? Last season, my man hit a career-high 39 home runs in 122 games, won the 2017 World Series MVP, with an average of 379, 5 home runs, 7 RBIs, 8 runs scored in 7 games. He's a 3-time All-Star. This is whether it's expected or not, this is huge, man. I mean, that's a big-time deal. Sure, I would have liked to have seen a long-term deal, personally. But can you blame either side right now for going, hey, let's lock him up. Let's let these waters settle a little bit, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I think the aspect of why it's big is because of what you're coming off. Like, I think everybody probably expected that George Springer was going to return as an Astro. But it's big because of everything that was happening leading up to it, to at least have a feel of something positive. Something positive going on right now around the organization, held the organization in a city that needs something positive to come about.
Yeah, I mean, show there's the timing couldn't be better for the city. I know as a fan, when I pulled up my Twitter, I said, whoa, yeah, baby, this is good stuff right here now. This is really, really good stuff. I needed that breath of fresh air this morning before I came to work because, damn it, I'm tired of talking about the Texans losing, the Astros cheating, the Rockets trading everything away and load managing Westbrook. And last year it was Paul was getting old. You know, I'm tired of talking about all that negative stuff. I needed some sunshine on this Thursday morning. But what the hell is any morning, is it? It's Thursday afternoon.
It's been morning.
Damn, is it already 3:30?
You know it's 3:30. That's a good thing.
Rocking and rolling, baby.
You're having a good time.
Come
today.
On. I needed some positivity in my life today, and I know the Houston fan base is absolutely stoked about it. Whether you expected it or not, damn it, whoever that is on that damn text line, whether you expect it or not, this is good news,
Clint.
Baby.
Come, take a drink, man.
All right, hell.
You okay now? All right, now we good now.
Hey, B-Mac, give me another Coors Light.
I knew that was coming. I didn't even know you that well, and I knew that was coming. It's not my job. Hey, coming up, we want to get really good understanding of maybe where the Texans are now that the season is over. And nobody better, nobody is closer to the organization that covers this team than John Harris, analyst for the Texans, radio and TV. He is coming up next. All right, welcome back in. Clint Sterner, I am filling in Ron the Show Hughley today and tomorrow. I'm having a good time sweating it out. I hope that doesn't come across the air.
You ain't got no damn choice, yo. You come in this studio with me, we're going to chop it up and have a time now.
Yeah, man, I was sweating.
Coming here with no negativity.
I was sweating before I saw you today, so it really didn't have nothing to do with you. Oh, man, having a good time, Houston. All right, let's get right into this. John Harris, football analyst, for the Houston Texans radio and Texans TV, also sideline reporter for the Texans as well. All right, John, a tough loss, tough week. Had time to breathe, had time to kind of take it all in. And I think my thought I want to start with you is with J.J. Watt. Like, it feels like to me that the Texans have got to get realistic and realize, like, he's still a great player when he's out there. But to have to rely on him is difficult. And maybe you can't start looking at adding pieces that complement him and more adding pieces that are like him at his best part just because he's not as reliable.
Well, I mean, if – you know, J.J. Watt's more fruitful, I'd go to the J.J. Watt tree and I'd just pull them down and
right.
I would
That's
add them
stupid.
To – or I'll add them to our defense, you know what I mean? But, no, I understand your point. Ron, I totally – and welcome to Houston, by the way. I totally understand your point, and that is he what everything revolves around going forward? And it's going to be a really interesting question. I think part of it is going to depend on – how he, you know, bounces back the last, you know, I'm sure they're all taking some time off now, but how he bounces back from these last two games that he played with the pec injury, how he bounced back from that, what his body felt like, you know, after that game against the Chiefs. I mean, that was a pretty physical game, and I think he played, I don't know what his play count was, but you're right. I think when you start looking at the number of years and the number of plays that JJ's played, and you think about, man, that's, you know, say you play 65 plays in the game. Say JJ played 65 plays in the game. I guarantee on a 65, probably 45 to 50 at a minimum, he was double teamed or he took a chip or, you know, there was a tight end helping, slam release, or whatever the case might be. You know, JJ's taken some shots over the years. And obviously the injuries in 16 and 17 minimized those, but it took a toll on his body with the leg injury he had in 2017 and the core injury he had in 2016. So, yeah, there's no question that you cannot just say, well, we got Watt, we're good. No, I mean, you can't go into a season feeling like that. And even if JJ were the JJ that we have grown to know and love, even if you're just like, you're guaranteed 2020, JJ is going to be like JJ back in 2014, you still don't have enough. You still don't have enough on the defensive side where you go, yep, we're good. Like, you, no way. I mean, they're in the same person who watched that game on Sunday from second quarter on that went, yeah, all we got to do is just have JJ come back healthy and they'll be good. No, no, no. There need to be a few more game changers added to that defense in some way, shape, or form. Now, getting JJ and watching the game again, I don't know at what level JJ was, but it was not the JJ we saw in the first eight games of the year. I know that. But if you get him back healthy, okay, that's a step. But it can't be the only step. You've got to have Charles and Menehu take a massive first-year to second-year jump. That's absolutely got to happen. You get Duke Ejiofor back, but he's coming off an Achilles. So you don't know where his explosiveness comes, but he's a pass rusher. And he's a guy that did some good things as a rookie, but he missed all this year with the Achilles. You know, where's Jacob Martin going into next year? So I think there's still a lot of questions on this defense, and I think some of them, you know, personnel-related. The personnel's got to get better on that side of the ball. I don't think that's no new news. But I think you're right, Ron. They cannot absolutely just say, well, we got Watt, we're good. No, that's I can assure you, that's definitely not going to happen. They've got to find some game changers that can be added to the mix, that if JJ's got to step off the field for a play or two, or he's got to come off for a particular game, hopefully not more than that, there are guys that can step in and do some good things. And to me, Charles Amenu, who's a guy with enormous potential, with the size, the length, and kind of looks like JJ in some sense, built like JJ in some sense, that needs to take his game up to a different level. He can be a game changer inside for this team if he takes that next step. But that, to me, is a huge question for this team, is where are you going to find defensive game changers? Because you're going to have to find them in places maybe you didn't look before because you don't have a first-round pick, that you're going to have to find them in different ways. And I'm fine with that. You got to get a little bit more creative, a little bit more innovative to find some guys that you can bring to this roster and start impacting opposing offenses unlike they did the other day against the Chiefs.
John Harris, Houston Texans radio and TV football analyst. John, we talked about every part of that defense except for the man calling the plays, except for the trigger man, Romeo Crennel. Obviously, right now, there's a lot of smoke around maybe retirement or you know, things of that nature. He's 73 years old, man. How long can my man do this?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, here's the thing, and I say this in all respect, but I mean, I think about my dad a lot in these situations because my dad, back in 06 or 07, decided to retire from coaching. And I think he actually retired from teaching. He didn't really want to deal with the classroom anymore. And he's a whale of a teacher. But to give up the teaching, he had to give up the coaching. And I know there's regrets because my dad was wired, like a lot of coaches are, that's what fuels you, you know? That's what you put in your veins every day, the football, man. That's what gets you going. And I think for Rack, it still is what keeps him going every single day. Now, if it gets to a point where the grind is just too much, you know, a couple of years ago, they decided whatever role Rack had, he stepped aside to let Mike Vrabel take over as defensive coordinator. And then when Vrabel went to Tennessee, you know, Rack stepped right back in and has had some really good moments as a defensive coordinator with this particular squad, ran into a buzzsaw against the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, I've heard a lot about Rack the last how many ever days. And I'm like, okay, it wasn't, you know, look, when there's a defensive meltdown, there's obviously got to be blame to go around, right? I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. You lost the game. Where does the blame typically go if you lose? Well, it goes to head coach and the quarterback, or it goes to the defensive coordinator. When you give up 51 points, and you do that in, you know, basically, you know, a little under three quarters, yeah, defensive coordinator is going to take some heat. But I guarantee you, Romeo Crennel did not teach guys to get lost and get knocked inside so that Patrick Mahomes could get outside contained. I guarantee you that was not something that was taught. There were those things that happened. There was not, to me, there were, I mean, how many times did Patrick Mahomes run the ball? Seven. And not one of those, not one, was a design run, not one. So he got outside contained seven times. And Clint Sterner, you played football a long time. When did you learn not – well, maybe you didn't play defense, but I'll ask you anyways. When did you learn when a quarterback couldn't get outside contained? Day freaking one. Hey, your job is to make sure that guy with the ball doesn't run outside of you. Okay, got it, coach. Boom, done. They allowed that to happen on Sunday. And it was maddening. Now, there's obviously, like I said, blame to go around for everybody. And I guarantee you that rack over the last few days, flying home from Kansas City and, you know, thinking about the last couple days, I'm sure rack is just going, man, I could have done this. I could have done that. But it was a systemic breakdown on the defensive side of the ball. There were a lot of different things that happened during that game that we'd seen a little bit of it during the year. Sometimes we saw a lot of it during the year, but it just all broke down at the wrong time. Now, I'm like you guys. I'm sort of, you know, waiting to see what ends up happening with the coaching situation, what happens with Romeo Crennel. The one thing I do know, since I've been in the building since 2014, there's been at least one coaching change every year. Sometimes it's been, you know, a minor change. Sometimes it's been a bigger change, like Vrabel moving over to D.C. and Rack moving up into more of a senior advisory role. So there will be a coaching change. There's no question. It's just a matter of which one is it going to be, and is if they decide that Rack is not going to move forward, then what do you do with that particular position? Do you keep it in-house, or do you go out of house and bring somebody in? And obviously those are questions that Bill O'Brien over the last 3 or 4 days has been thinking through, and I guarantee it started as soon as we walked off that field against the Chiefs. He already started thinking about what was going to happen with everybody on that staff going forward. And I know he loves and respects Rack, you know, and those are going to be conversations that they've got to have. And if it comes to that, he decides that Rack is the right guy, then they've got to go out and find pieces that are going to fit for what Rack's going to want to do going forward.
A very fired up John Harris, football analyst for the Texans and Texas TV and radio. He's up here telling Clint, man, when did you learn that day?
Yeah, that's that coach coming out.
One, I'm feeling it. I got about a minute, John. I just off of the Romeo thing though. Is there any thought that his voice is maybe wearing thin, or that maybe his concepts and creativity in terms of 2020 and what you have to do to change up with concepts defensively, is there any thought that that might be potentially an issue?
It could be. I mean, it could be for a lot of people in the building. I mean, that's one I think the players have got to answer. But when I see the players react to Rack, when I see, you know, players, and I see players like walking down the hallway, and they'll like sidle up to Rack, and you can see Rack kind of coaching and, you know, kind of instructing as they go. I don't think there is that. But again, I mean, I think that's more for the players. I think it's possible? Sure. I mean, I don't think there's any question with that. Anytime that you have a group of adults in a building and a lot of type A's in the building, and they've been in the building together for 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it's been, you absolutely get to that point like, yeah, okay, I've heard it before. I mean, you know, we have friends, we have loved ones, we have family members that we're like, okay, you know, Dad, I don't need to hear it again. You know, like, so there is some of that, I'm sure, especially when you have a rough day like you did on Sunday, because at some point you're like, I got to do something. I got to go make a play, right? I got to go make a play. And coach wants me to do this. Well, I'm going to do this. Well, you know, then it snowballs from there and things don't go great. But I do think that, yeah, there's absolutely a chance it could be that way. But the way these players react to Romeo Crennel when I see them, I don't get that thought. I really don't. But, again, when you've been in a building for a while together, everybody, you know, sort of grates on everybody's nerves a little bit. And I'm sure we do that to them. They do that to us. And, you know, it happens. But we'll see what, you know, Bill O'Brien is going to decide, what Cal McNair is going to decide over the next few days, hopefully, and, you know, we'll start moving on to 2020. We can forget about what happened. Hopefully, we don't forget about what happened Sunday against the Chiefs, but it's not something that we can look back and dwell on. And I think what I've done the last 2 or 3 days, I've thought back to that game and I've dwelled on it, and it hasn't put me in a good mood. I'll leave it at that. But hopefully we can move beyond it and get on to 2020 and start winning some rings in this town again.
John, what do you think about the possibility of Bill O'Brien hiring an offensive coordinator that actually calls the plays and it leads the offense?
I plead the fifth.
Oh my!
Is that a good? Is that a good enough answer? No,
come on, John.
No, I honestly don't. I don't. I mean, do I think it could happen? Look, anything could happen. Do I think it's something that Bill is thinking about for the 2020 season? I don't get that impression at all. I think they feel like they've got the pieces in place to do some really good things in 2020. Do I think it could happen? Sure, it's happened before. You know, he put George Gotze in control of the offense in 2015 and 2016. Is that right? Yeah, 2015, 2016, yeah. But, you know, then when Goose moved on, you know, Bill took it back over in 2017 and has had it ever since. So do I think he would bring in, you know, like, for example, Matt Rhule hired Joe Brady, right? Do I think that Bill would have done something like that? I don't think so. I think if he's going to do it, it's probably going to be somebody that has some knowledge, at least of the baseline playbook that they have. So I would think it would be somebody that is not coming in and just teaching a whole new thing if they did it. But I wouldn't anticipate that happening. In fact, if I dabbled in the dark arts of the Diet Cokes, I would probably put $100 going the other way that it wouldn't.
All right, appreciate you jumping on with us, John. John, fired up. That is John Harris, football analyst for the Texans Radio and Texans TV. Thanks for jumping on with us.
You got it, boys. Take care. Thank you for having me.
So this is something I got to know. This is a hot button issue for you.
What's that?
This play calling thing.
Yeah, I'm not a run it back guy. I'm not a run it back guy. I'm not a same old playbook guy. I'm not a same play caller guy. I think you've seen enough of a sample size of things that are very, very simple in 2020 on the offensive side of the football to do, not even be attempted to be used. You've seen the clock management issues, right? So now we're talking about one guy that's the GM, the head coach, and the play caller. You got a lot on your plate. You got to be a super dynamic dude to handle all that. And even then, I think it's suspect, right? And so I just think that I'm not a running back guy. I think the first thing that needs to change with this team is the play caller.
See, when I think about it is, all right, when I see a head coach who has both duties, I think, all right, well, what's the issue? The issue is he's not able to do administrative things as the coach, in terms of time management, in terms of, you know, your timeouts, all of those things. Or is it maybe he has issues calling plays? I'm trying to figure out if Bill O'Brien was just an offensive coordinator, would he be successful? Like, what is it, the reason you think? Is it his play calling style?
I think there's a struggle. I think there's a struggle within, and that struggle is Deshaun Watson's skill set and Bill O'Brien's DNA. Bill O'Brien, I mean, the fiber of his being is more of a pro style. It may be more of a spread pro spread type of game that you see New England run. And that you saw him at Penn State with Christian Hackenberg. You know, you've seen it here with some other pro style guys, where a guy really has to win between the ears and move protections and change protections and get through his progressions really quick and doing those things. And that, to me, that is not the best use of number four, who is hands down, zero doubt about it, the future of this organization. I believe that for this organization, Deshaun Watson and this offense to take the strides that they need to take to win championships, they're not far off, but I believe that the guy that's pulling the trigger, the guy that's on the sideline calling the plays, when it comes cutting time, his knee-jerk reaction has got to be the zone read. His knee-jerk reaction has to be the RPO, the favorite RPO of that day. And I think there's a real struggle show between Bill O'Brien, and he's trying. We've seen it throughout the year. You saw it throughout the year where there were some tweaks here and some changes in the style, but it always reverted back. And I think that there's still a struggle internally for Bill O'Brien to mesh with Deshaun Watson at their ceiling, right? I just think it's a struggle, and I think it's a quick fix. And I think you've seen enough of the problems.
I wonder how many people who watch and who are Texans fans almost would feel more comfortable if Deshaun was calling the plays.
Yeah, well, I mean,
if it was Deshaun just coming up, just, here, I got this, Chief.
Yeah, I got.
Let me go ahead. Here, I got, like, on that 4th and 1.
Yeah,
that 4th and 1 where he just decided to kick that field goal. I wonder how many people would have rather said, "Well, here, I'd rather have Deshaun call."
I think people struggle with not Deshaun, but I think people struggle with just in general. And I think this is Bill O'Brien's built. This is by design. This ain't by accident. Like some of the things that I see. I go, how did you sit around a game plan table and this is what you come up with? You know what I mean? Because it's not bad. Stuff they try to do is not bad. It's just not a great fit. You know what I mean? It's not. I don't watch it and schematically go, man, what the hell are they doing? That don't work nowhere.
But that's not Tom Brady. But
yeah, it's a different deal. Right now, maybe one day, I'll put it to you this way, Show. You need to play to Deshaun's strengths, and you need to develop his weaknesses.
Sound like
and
coaching.
Instead, there's a lot of let's put him in position to where he's trying to develop weaknesses on Sunday, and if you know 8 years into his career, if that's between the ears, getting through the progressions, doing all that, if that's his strength, boom, great job. But right now, it's just not the best use of him.
Take a drink, big boy, Clint. Clint was so fired up coming in today about Aaron Rodgers. Clint was so amped about this. I'm going to get out the way. Coming up, I'm going to get out the way because Clint is ready to go about Aaron Rodgers. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.